Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Rabbi Daniel Landes discusses Parshat Emor. Rabbi Daniel Landes is the Rosh HaYeshiva and director of the Pardes Institute. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry, and Mazel Tov also on your wonderful wedding. May you and Josie have many, many happy years together. This week's Parsha of Emor talks about counting. It talks about the counting of the Omer, or from the Omer, which was the barley harvest given on the second night of Pesach, and counting the days, which actually, as it culminates, is in the holiday of weeks, festival weeks, Shavuot. We refer to it as Atzeret, the holy convocation. The verse in question from this week's parsha says as follows: "Usfartum lachem imacharat haShabbat miyom haviyachem et Omer atnufa sheva Shabbatot tmimot tiyena ad imacharat haShabbat haShviit tisperu chamishim yom." The verses begin Leviticus 23:15 veYikra Chof Gimel Tetvav. My translation, following the understanding of the Talmud, has it as: "You all are to count from the morrow of the rest day, from the day you brought the Omer offering that is waived. They are to be 7 complete weeks until the morrow of the 7th week. You are to count to 50 days, and then offer a new meal offering to God." Well, that's what we expect, that's what we try to accomplish. And in this verse, there are a number of halachic legal rules about this counting, which are derived from the verse. And let me use the verse to explain some of these rules. Usfartum lachem, you are all to count. This Hebrew is in the plural. Talmud points out that it's in the plural, the mitzvah rests upon each individual. This is different than another counting, which comes to 50. That's the counting of the years by the court that goes until the Jubilee year, on the 50th year. And there, a singular term is used, usfarta lecha, you, as a singular unit, is supposed to count to the 50th year. It's the obligation of the singular unit, the court, a single body, to count it. This is different from Sfartim Lachem, you plural. So there it's kind of like, thou shall count, singular. Here it's you all shall count, to use a southern term. You all should count, which brings us to the responsibility of each and every individual who takes upon this mitzvah. The second term that's used that's in that first phrase is the word counts itself, svartem. This is an actual out loud counting. It's unlike other countings that the Torah talks about. For example, again, it's unlike the court counting the years to the Jubilee. Regarding the court, when they count the years of Jubilee, they don't necessarily need to count out loud. It's just sufficient for them to know always how many years have passed and how many years are they going to need in order to get to that 50th year. However, when we say Usfartum Lachem, we've understood it halachically to mean a conscious, articulated, and oral, out loud, counting. Again with the word count, Usfartem. Once you have counted, you've fulfilled the mitzvah. And basically this means, the practical consequence of this is that if you even mention, according to most halachic authorities, the day that you're in, even inadvertently, just casually, someone says, how many days are we counting now? And you say, well, we're on the 16th day of the 16th day of the counting. Well, then even though you weren't formally counting, you've already fulfilled the mitzvah. And once you fulfill the mitzvah, you no longer do it in its ritual form. You, in fact, according to most authorities, if you would make the blessing beforehand, was commanded us to count to the Omer, this would be a bracha levatala. This would be a blessing made in vain. There is a major authority, the Taz, who was commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, composed by Rabbi David Alevi from Poland in the 17th century, who says, earlier part of the 17th century, who says that you only really fulfill the mitzvah when you do it in the ritual sense, that you make the bracha, or at the very least you say Hayom, Yom, today is the day, and you give how many days that is. But the general thing, the counting means any form of counting will generally, the understanding is any form of counting, even inadvertent counting, you fulfill the mitzvah. It says from the morrow, and you're supposed to go to 7 complete weeks. What does this completion mean? What are really complete weeks? Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot, 7 complete weeks to Yenna there shall be. And that means that we really want to know when should we begin the counting of any day, including the first day. Meaning if it's going to be a complete week, you want each day to have a complete counting. There's basically 3 opinions, as you would expect. You could probably even guess what they would be. The Torah, a major halachic work, who follows the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, his father, says that this must start at the beginning of the night, even when it's doubtful darkness, safek hashecha, in order to get a complete day, therefore a complete counting. He's opposed by the Ran, who says, Major Nissim ben Ruvain, who died in 1380, a Spanish commentary on the Alfasi, he says that those who are careful will make sure they count only after it's Seita Kochavim, when it's no longer doubtful darkness, but real darkness has arrived, that the stars have emerged. And then there's opinion, a third opinion from Sefer HaManhig. This is from Avraham ben Natan Hayarchi from Lunel and from Toledo. He says that we count here even earlier than doubtful darkness. And the difference between these 3 opinions can be explained in the following way. Opinion 2, that of the Ran Rashba, that it can be done only after the stars emerge, that's really the time it should be done, is because they want to make certain that the day they're counting has actually begun, has actually commenced, and therefore doubtful darkness, maybe the day you're counting is really the prior day, and you're giving the wrong date for the prior day, and you haven't fulfilled the day that you really want to count for. So therefore you're doing it after darkness, so that for sure, if you're counting the 16th day, which of course days in Jewish tradition begin at night, the 16th day has really commenced. The first opinion that we have mentioned, the Tor, that one can count early, even if it's doubtful darkness, this is because we want to make sure we're getting a complete day and no minutes left. And the third opinion, say for a Manhig, who says it could even be done really late in the preceding day, only at the towards the end of the preceding day, is because we have situations in which we start performing ritual duties for the new day, even when the new day hasn't officially begun. And for example, if we have Davin Mincha, we have prayed the Mincha afternoon service late, we can go immediately into the Maariv service, even if real darkness, and even before even real darkness has not been accomplished, even before doubtful darkness. The general minhag is that we count only as early as doubtful darkness, and no earlier than that. The fifth notion that comes from this verse is that the verse refers to both weeks, but it also refers to days. And there's this days and weeks motif, which comes from the verse. And which is more important? There are many possibilities. The Torah that I mentioned earlier, Jacob ben Asher, quotes his father, the Rush, that really it's the days that are primary, but they're primary only until one reaches a full week. So you start with today's the first day of the Omer, today's the second day. And once you reach today is 7 days, which are 1 week, then things change. From that point on, we no longer count the total number of days separately. This is how we do it. At 8 days, we say today is 1 week and 1 day. And we don't even say 8 days. Today is 1 week and 1 day. And therefore, when we get to 14 days, we say today is 2 weeks. And that's all that we say. We get to 16 days, we say this is 2 weeks and 2 days, as opposed to saying this is 2 weeks, which are 16 days, or these are 16 days, which are 2 weeks. Another opinion is actually to emphasize the days over the weeks. That's the 7 days, we say today is 7 days, which are 1 week. In 8 days, we say only today is 8 days, until we get to 14 days, in which we say today is 14 days, which are 2 weeks. Or we say today, when we get to 16 days, today is 16 days, which are 2 weeks and 2 days. The dominant position follows Maimonides, who opines, and he actually sets for halacha, that we should say in such a way that we are emphasizing both days and weeks. Both are part of the mitzvah. One is not swallowed up in the other. They're not two separate mitzvot. There are two parts of one mitzvah, to quote Maimonides. Rabbi Soloveitchik's practice, based on Maimonides, was count both days and weeks equally, starting with today is 1 day, then eventually today is 7 days, which is 1 week, then today is 8 days, which is 1 week and 1 day, in which you have a complete counting of both the days and of the week, and therefore it's 16 days, today is 16 days, which are 2 weeks and 2 days. When we count, we are supposed to count these complete weeks. And therefore, one must count each and every day. If you miss a day, then you cannot have a complete counting. You should continue to count, but you cannot. You can no longer make the blessing beforehand because you have lost part of your counting. If you neglected to count at night and you count during the day, you count without a blessing. Let's say you've gotten up to 16 days. You forgot to do it at night. You do it the next day, all through the day, and all you need to say is, without a blessing, today is 16 days, which are 2 weeks and 2 days. And at that point, subsequent to that, when you get to 17 days, you say today is 17 days, which are 2 weeks and 3 days. But you begin with a blessing. You've caught yourself up. You've kind of saved yourself for the mitzvah by counting during the days. How is the counting to be considered in this time of ours? I say that as we no longer have the barley offering, nor we have the wheat offering, which is given on Shavuot. We don't have the festival. We have the festival structure, but we no longer have the sacred structure of the temple service, and this is intimately connected. The counting that we're doing are intimately connected, and indeed, most authorities have the opinion that the counting today being linked to a temple and the temple service of Avodat HaMikdash, which no longer exists, the counting today is only a rabbinic enactment, which is there to keep us Zecher LeMikdash as a commemoration for the temple practice. It commemorates it. It reminds us, and we anticipate going back to it. As a result, we make the bracha and we say that today is a mitzvah, that as it is written in the Torah, what we're really saying, and I'm quoting a wonderful rabbi in Jerusalem, Rabbi Aharon Adler, went to yeshiva with him, and was in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class with him, who was a synagogue rabbi and a Rosh Yeshiva here in Jerusalem. He says, and I said in conversation to him, if you say it's written in the Torah, but we consider basically today a rabbinic enactment today, because the real Torah mitzvah is no longer there, aren't we a violation of Baal Tosif? Aren't we adding on to the Torah when the Torah says that in this day and age, it really is not it's only a rabbinic mitzvah, not a Torah mitzvah? And his suggestion is that we say it as a she'ifa, an articulated yearning for the return of this mitzvah in its full sense, in its full status. And therefore, when we say, as written in the Torah, we say, as written in the Torah, I am fulfilling this mitzvah so that I will remember the mitzvah and I will do the mitzvah now so that I will remember and be able to do the mitzvah once the temple is rebuilt. However, we should know that according to Maimonides, this mitzvah, even though the temple service is no longer with us, this mitzvah is a mitzvah that is independent, counting is independent of the temple service. I think there's a great lesson here. There's a great lesson whether we say it's only a she'ifah today, it's an articulated yearning, or we say, according to Maimonides, that it's an independent mitzvah. The notion of counting, of being careful about time, of counting therefore connects. We connect the barley harvest, which deals with grains that are normally fed as animal feed, or as and grains which are considered rough grains, as opposed to the wheat, which is a more civilized grain. And we combine those two elements of a service that we may no longer have right now, but we'll have in the future. It connects different parts of our human nature. The barley nature, it comes fast, it comes early, but it's considered to be not the most civilized food, but the greater civilized food is considered to be the wheat. That's that part of our civilization, refinement, is also part of our nature. But even more so, in these days in which we connect the holiday of Passover with the holiday of Shavuot, the holiday of the liberation from Egypt, attaining independence and autonomy, and we connect that with the heteronymous service to God, a service to God in which God is dominant, as understood in the acceptance of the Torah of Shavuot. Counting is extraordinarily important as we consider this week as well, that the parasha falls in. This is a week also of Yom HaAtzma'ut, Israel Independence Day. And when we talk about how we think of time, we think of counting, we go back to Shemot, to the book of Exodus, in which God says to Moses regarding the momentous events that are going to take place. And the first thing that God says, a new conception of time. Achosh azel lachem rosh hachadashim. This month shall be for you, a month that we today call Nisan, this month shall be for you the beginning of all months. And therefore, the month in which the Exodus took place has become another form of Rosh Hashanah. We have the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, the Rosh Hashanah that takes place in the fall and goes through the year. And that's a Rosh Hashanah that operates very much on a spiritual level and how God judges us. But the other counting, which counts in terms of the number of the months and when the days of the months begin and the festival cycle begins with Passover, this begins in the important month of deliverance, which is the month that has just passed us. I'm giving this shiur, this class on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, that the month of Nisan, which precedes it, the month in which Passover takes place. This is a month which was renamed to be a new type of Rosh Hashanah because of deliverance. And on this, Nachmanides, the Ramban, great medieval commentator, he notes that we have a third way of counting, and that comes through how we refer to the months. Instead of saying the seventh month, we refer to it by the term Nisan. Instead of referring to the seventh month from the beginning of the year, this becomes the beginning of the months. When we understand on that basis how we refer to the months, the Ramban says, it's interesting, all these terms we use, Nisan, etc., Tishrei, where Rosh Hashanah falls in, Iyar, which is the month that we have entered as Rosh Chodesh, these are Babylonian names. And how is it that we have given from the Babylonian language, based on basically mostly astrological names, how is it that these names have entered into our calendric system? And he says very simply that Kasher Olinu Mibavel, when we came up for the second commonwealth after the first diaspora, the first exile, and we came up from Bavel, from Babylonia, we fulfilled the verse from Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says prophetically, V'lo yomar od chai Hashem, Asher ha'lo et b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, will no longer say, lives the God who brought the children of Israel up from the land of Egypt, Kiim, but rather we shall say, Chai Hashem lives the God, Asher ha'lo, who has brought up, v'asher hevi, and has brought forward, et b'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel, me'eretz Safon, has brought the children of Israel into the land of Israel from the northern kingdom. In other words, while we keep and we revere, and Jeremiah was not canceling the holiday of Passover, as we keep and revere God who has shown his deliverance to us from the Egyptian exile. We say, Chai Hashem, this God lives, and we commemorate in Passover, commemorated on the order, the new order of months. He says there, Jeremiah says, there'll come a time that there'll be another deliverance, which was the creation of the second commonwealth, Ezra and Nehemiah, when they came forward and reestablished Jewish existence and re-sanctified the land of Israel. And the people will say, ah, lives the God who has brought up and has brought forward the children of Israel into the land of Israel from the northern kingdom. And this is very significant this week on Yom HaTzmaut. There's a custom amongst many of us to count when we count on the calendar, when we write the date, and especially for august occasions like a wedding or a celebration, we count how many years from the establishment of the State of Israel. And this became a custom after the first year, which we could imagine how important that was. 10 years, 7 years, a magnetic number in Jewish life. 10 years, obviously an important number. 13 years, and it's went on and it's gone on from there. And so now we've come to 60 years. And an important, and on top of our, on the top of a letter, on the top of an invitation, on the top of an announcement, there are many of us who write 60 years from the establishment of the State of Israel. Because we are counting that, because that's the counting of a new redemption, the third commonwealth which has been established here, the hearkening that we hope of a new era, a more perfected era that leads itself to the Messianic era. May we count out loud, may we count publicly, may we count joyously, may we count without ever forgetting and never skipping, may we count all of our ways of counting our deliverance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated. Please send your emails to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.